All right, good morning, church. Good morning. Today we're looking at Hebrews, and I find it interesting that a couple of our guest preachers have spoken from Hebrews, and it's I say interesting because I've been considering how to fit Hebrews into our teaching series, but yeah, we'll see where we get from there. There's so much packed into this these few verses, but in reality, today what I want to do is we can't go through all of it, so I want to just pull out the practical aspects of this passage and see how it might be able to encourage us. That's really what we want to do over these next few months, is just have messages of encouragement in our faith, because I know very much many of us in this room, including myself, can find the Christian faith difficult to live out faithfully. It can be difficult to hold to the truths of God's words, and when we are facing so many obstacles. I mean, even taking our faith out of it, just living life, right, is difficult. It's full of hardships, disappointments, frustrations. And so I thought maybe over the next few months we might find some encouragement, right? Look, I'm smiling. I'm not shouting. I'm smiling, everybody. this passage is so well known, right? We all know it. We know this metaphor is very popular in the New Testament with the Christian authors or the New Testament authors often comparing life to a race. And the author of Hebrews here is doing exactly the same thing, comparing life to a race. And in these few verses, what we'll see are the various aspects of the race that we run and how it compares to a faithful life in Christ. We're going to be looking at our event, our endurance, and our example. So when we look at our event, right, we see here, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Again, we see this metaphor of a race. A race. Our event is our race. Our race is not a sprint, it's a marathon, right? Here we go. I'm gonna ride this till I die. In 2016, I ran a marathon, right? I ran a marathon, and it was one of those things in which you have to train for, and if you don't train properly, and I didn't train properly, it's really hard. Yeah. Mackenzie knows, right? We'll talk about it later, all right, Mackenzie? We'll talk about it afterwards. But a marathon is hard work. It's grueling. And in my experience of running the Chicago Marathon, again, back in 2016, it's already been a decade now. But again, I'm going to ride it till I die. All right, Tom? I'm going to ride it till I die. But this is the thing. When I first started, man, the atmosphere is electrifying, right? And you have, I was surrounded by a sea of people. And I was just, it was, you know, there's so many people there, they have music bumping, the crowd is going, everybody's cheering, and then the race begins, right? And here we go, I'm excited, I've been at the starting point, or, you know, at our campsite since like 4 in the morning. The race, you know, started at 7, but I didn't actually get, because there's so many people, I didn't get to the starting line till like 8:30, almost 9 o'clock, right? So I'm already there for quite some time. My stomach's already hungry, you know, but I'm excited. Adrenaline is pumping. And when I cross that starting line, my adrenaline, again, with all the people, all the cheering, all the music, I am going. And I'm running like a 7-minute mile, right? I haven't run a 7-minute mile since like middle school. So I'm running like this 7-minute mile. I haven't trained to run at that pace, but I'm going purely off of adrenaline. And I am just like, I'm on top of the world. 26.2 miles, easy, right? And I'm going, I hit mile 6 and I'm like, I'm gassed, right? I'm done. I'm like, oh goodness, I got 20 more miles of this, right? I don't know what that is in kilometers, but anyways, I got 20 more miles of this, and I am spent, right? I think oftentimes we might feel like that in our faith as well. We start our race, right? We believe our, you know, we encounter Jesus' love for us, and we give our life to him. And we are filled with passion and energy and ideas and strategies, and we just want to run. And then after a while, we might slow down. Life might hit us. Things might happen. We slow down. And sometimes we might even give up. A race takes hard work, takes discipline. Not just in the training, but during the race, to be able to pace yourself so that you can finish well. It takes endurance. And when we look at endurance, we can see that actually there are things that will help us or bring us down, right? And in this passage, we can see that there are entanglements, things that will weigh us down, that will hinder our endurance, and there are things that will encourage us to help us endure, right? Endurance is that steady determination to keep us going, even when everything in us wants to quit, everything in us wants to give up. And so when we look at our entanglements, what do we see? The obvious one is sin, right? Sin is the greatest entanglement that weighs us down, right? And some of us, we are stuck and we are stuck in sinful ways in which we might be addicted to certain things that are just holding us back from experiencing the joy and the rewards of being in relationship with God, to run our race. These are the things that entangle us. And the author is saying, lay it down. But here we see that actually the author here says, to lay aside, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. And I know when we read that, we could think, okay, the sin as in whatever it might be us dealing with. But in context of what the author of Hebrews has been going through in his entire letter, I think this sin that he's referring to here is unbelief or distrust. What is going to stop someone from running the race than one who doesn't trust God? Who thinks, oh, you know what? I will run my race the way I'm going to run it. I'm going to live my life the way I want to run my race. I'm going to live in my wisdom, not God's wisdom. And when we don't trust in God in our race, man, Satan doesn't even need to work hard. We'll stumble ourselves, right? We'll destroy our own race. But it's not just the blatant, obvious sin that entangles us, but actually there are some good things that can entangle us. Good things like money, family, relationships, status. These are, you know, there are things in which are good and a blessing for us to enjoy. But when we make those things the best thing in our life, that will pull us off course. It will send us in the other direction. It'll kill our passion. It'll pull us away from God. These are the things that entangle us. Lay them aside. Put them down. Trust in God. So on the one end, we have our entanglements, but on the other end, we have our encouragement. Notice, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that marked out for us. The temptation here is that we don't need anyone else. This is my race. This is my faith. I'm going to run as I need, and I don't need anyone else. But the author of Hebrews is telling us, no, this is our race. We are running this with one another. It's gonna get messy. It's going to be difficult. We are going to clash with ideas and beliefs and all of these things. But regardless of those things, we are to run together. We're not in this on our own. It's not our faith. This faith, what we believe in, is not just about me. It's not just about you. It's about us. Again, something that is good can become an entanglement, and it becomes an entanglement when we think we can run this race alone, when we think that we don't need anyone else. That'll entangle you. I remember as I, again, back in the a story from the marathon, I'm gassed at mile 6. I re-injure my knee in mile 13, and so I'm in excruciating pain. I'm hobbling, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to quit. I got to keep going. I got to keep running, right? Or run, hobble, crawl, whatever. But I hit mile 20, right? And of course, I think this was the devil, but of course, mile 20, you hit Chinatown. And so you get all the restaurant smells, you get all the, and I'm like ready to go. I'm running. I'm nearly ready to quit because I'm such in pain. My muscles are cramping. I'm a mess. And I go, you know what? I'm just gonna hop this barrier, go grab something to go home and eat. And I wanted to quit. I wanted to quit so badly. But it was in that moment when, in the midst of all the cheering, I hear my name call from a familiar voice. And it's actually I look over and it's my colleague Rhonda, right? Rhonda, she's there and she goes, Sammy, I've been tracking you. You can do this. I know it hurts. I know you're in a lot of pain. I know you're tired. Keep going. And so I'm like, okay, I don't know if I can, but you know what? That's a little pick me up. And the next thing I know, she hops the barricade and starts running with me, right? And I look over and her husband's just like, what? And I was like, what about your husband? She's like, oh, he'll be fine. But she starts running with me and she runs with me a mile. And then after that, she goes, keep going. Don't give up. At just the right time, I needed someone to come alongside me, to encourage me, to lift me up, to say, hey, you can do this. Keep running. You got this. Brother, sister, if you are gassed out, don't give up. Brother, sister, if you are slowing down, keep going. Brother, sister, if you've stopped, if you checked out, get back into the race and finish well. Encouragement of being together. We are not running this race alone. The next bit of encouragement is this great cloud of witnesses, right? We are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. And we look at here the heroes of the faith mentioned in chapter 11, the previous chapter. But oftentimes when we see that word witnesses, we think that they are observers, that they are watching us. So then it tempts us to try to perform. Right now Apostle Paul is watching me. Oh, maybe I need to do better, or I need to do more, or whatever it might be. But I think oftentimes we are mistaken because they aren't looking at us. They are pointing us to God. They're not spectators, they're examples who have proven in their testimony, in their witness, what a life of faith looks like. They're not observers, they're examples. Further to this point, the idea of the great heroes of faith watching us, right? I don't know about you, but that brings me that freezes me, right? That paralyzes me. That brings me more fear than you being used as a motivation. I remember in high school, I was a part of the symphonic orchestra, And you know, that's the full band, right? Strings, brass, woodwinds, all of it. And my teacher, she was amazing. She had an amazing ear. And you would think that with all the noise, or not noise, music, with all the music, right? With all the music that, okay, my mistakes can be hidden, right? Okay, maybe I can get by. But then, no, her ear was just like, something's wrong. Stop. You play, right? And I'm like, I'm this self-taught kid just in orchestra because it's full of girls and you know, just, I'm just trying to, you know, please my dad. I don't, you know, I'm just trying to, I'm here not, yet in this orchestra, there are kids who are naturally gifted. This is their life. And when my teacher goes, you play, I'm like, all eyes turn on me and I just go, I can't play on a good day. So now with all this extra, I don't think this great cloud of witnesses are watching us. No, they are pointing us to God. They are saying we can live this life of faith because we have faith in God. We can live this life of faith because of God's faithfulness to us. This is the beautiful thing, because their witness proclaims the goodness and faithfulness of God. If God was faithful to them, he will be faithful to us. If God loves them, God will love us. If God provided for them, he will provide for us. If God empowered them, he will empower us. Our God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so when we looked to the great witnesses, right, this great cloud of witnesses, or points us to God going, yeah, we can do it too. Because we serve that same God. We can run the race like they did. I know it's intimidating. We read of all the greatness and the great things that they have done. And it's intimidating because we go, oh, who am I? You know, what can I do? But they knew how to run the race. They knew. And all they had to do was have faith in God. We can run like they did. But lastly, we know that although they've been great, although they lived, they finished their race well, they lived faithfully, we know that they were not perfect. I am not perfect. You are not perfect. We are not perfect. But when we run, when we run a race, it's so important where we focus our eyes. If you're looking down at your stride, you know, if you're looking down at your feet, it'll mess up your stride. If you're not looking to where you need to go, you're going to lose direction. Where your eyes are focused will give you that power to keep going. It's extremely important. We look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who passed the test, right? He is the one who had full and perfect faith in God. Where all the other heroes failed, he succeeded. Where they were tested and failed, he was tested and passed. His faith in God was perfect, but he also suffered. And he endured the cross, despising its shame. But now we look here and we see that he sits at the right hand of the throne of God and has shown us what we are running for. Last week we celebrated this always, and it ought to be on the forefront of our mind always, that glorification is now a reality because of Jesus. The prize, the reason we run this race, is now a reality because of Jesus' resurrection. And we will be glorified. That will be our prize. We will be crowned if we finish well. I mean, even if we finish, sometimes it's not about finishing well. Sometimes you just got to grit in and finish. Don't give up. don't give up. And as a final point of encouragement, I hope that you can know, and I hope you know, and we know this in Scripture, that Jesus, as he is on the right hand of God and his throne, that he's not just up there going, oh, yeah, you got it. No, he is interceding on our behalf. He is rooting us on. He is cheering for us. He is praying for us so that we can finish, that we can run this race. So brothers and sisters, wherever you're at, consider him so you will not grow weary and lose heart in this race. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Let's pray.